One of the joys of the Christmas season is the singing of Christmas carols. While some of these songs date from medieval times or earlier, many of the most popular ones that we sing originated in the 18th and 19th centuries. And for our meditation tonight, I'll examine a bit of the history and the content of the 18th century carol that is a favorite of many, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We will see that its text is theologically rich, especially in its full original form. Charles Wesley composed the text of this carol. The younger brother of John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, Charles is almost certainly the most prolific hymn writer in all of history. He composed more than 6,000 hymn texts, many of which remain standards in our hymnals today. Our Trinity hymnal has 19 of his hymns. The text we're considering did not begin as Hark the Herald Angels Sing. When first published in 1737, the opening stanza read, "Hark how all the welkin rings, glory to the King of Kings, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." Welkin is an old English word that means sky or heavens. And Wesley's words capture well the scene described in Luke 2, 13 and 14. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." It was the great revivalist George Whitefield who changed the words to those we know today when he published a hymnal in 1753. In doing so, he moved slightly away from Wesley's biblical fidelity. True to Scripture, Wesley has the sky or heavens ringing with a proclamation about God above. Whitefield has the angels singing, something not found in Scripture, praise to the newborn baby rather than to God above. It's said that Charles Wesley was not fond of others changing his texts, and some report that he refused to sing Whitefield's revised version. But if Whitefield's poetic license took some liberties with Scripture, it probably also assured the carol a long lease on life. After all, it is unlikely that after all these years we would still be singing Hark How All the Welkin Rings. So with thanks to the great Calvinist Whitefield, we will yet defer to the Anglican Methodist Wesley by examining this carol's text in its original intended form. You'll probably recognize some other differences along the way, and it is the text that you have in your insert. As we've seen, Wesley begins by focusing upon the angels' praise when they announce to the shepherds the birth of Christ. And his text continues, "Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. Universal nature say, Christ the Lord is born today." Envisioning Christ as the fulfillment and hope of both nations and nature, Wesley pictures both as joining in praise of the birth of Christ. He continues, "Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb." This stanza is informed by Paul's statement in Galatians 4:4, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman." For many centuries, God's people had been anticipating the arrival of the Messiah. The fulfillment of prophecy came according to God's timetable. The birth of Jesus signaled that the fullness of time had come. Wesley also alludes to the specific prophecy of the Messiah's birth found in Isaiah 7:14. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." This Isaianic prophecy is alluded to in this stanza's reference to the virgin birth, and also in the next stanza's statement that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh. Wesley writes, "Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to appear, Jesus our Emmanuel here." How important it is for us to remember that the baby placed in the manger was God in human flesh. He became a human being in order to redeem human beings. As Wesley's original version reminds us, he did so here. Here upon the earth where we dwell. Thus he is worthy of the praise lavished upon him in the next stanza. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. We are drawn back to Old Testament prophecies in this litany of praise. The designation Prince of Peace is found in that wonderful announcement on Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the rest of the stanza is rooted in the words of Malachi 4:2, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Christ offers true spiritual healing for all who fear God and trust in him. Wesley next writes of our Savior's condescension in leaving his heavenly glory and of the purposes for which Christ was born. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Wesley stresses here the great accomplishment of the one born in a manger. He conquered death. He assured resurrection after death. And he gave new birth to all who trust in him. When George Whitefield published his revision of Wesley's carol, this is where he stopped. And following Whitefield, this is where many of our hymnals stop. But that is a shame, for there is wonderful theological truth for our hearts in Wesley's additional stanzas. Come, desire of nations, come, fix in us thy humble home, rise the woman's conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head. Here we are taken back to that first gospel promise in Genesis 3:15, that a seed of the woman would one day arise to crush the head of the serpent. And Wesley personalizes this promise, picturing Christ as the woman's conquering seed, bruising in us the serpent's head, that is, dealing with the sin in our hearts. He continues, now display thy saving power, ruined nature now restore, now in mystic union join, thou thine to ours, and ours to thine. With these words, Wesley recognizes that through the birth of Christ, a process is begun that will ultimately restore all creation and reconcile God and man. This is next illustrated as moving us from being in the image of Adam, in which we are estranged from God in our sin, to being in the image of the second Adam, Jesus Christ, in whom we are reconciled to God by love. Adam's likeness, Lord, efface, stamp thy image in its place. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Wesley continues to speak of this restoration in his final stanza. Let us thee, though lost, regain, thee, the life, the heavenly man, O, to all thyself impart, formed in each believing heart. What a wonder is God's saving work through Christ. He imparts not merely a gift of salvation, but he imparts his very self to all who place their faith in Christ. He grants true heavenly life to us, a life that is real and vibrant now and will be so for all eternity. May the words of Charles Wesley's great carol fix our minds with wonder on the birth of Christ as that time when God came from heaven to earth in human flesh, that sinful human beings on earth might be reconciled to God in heaven. Contemplating Jesus' birth should lead you to praise God. And now you have some new words to do so. Hark how all the welkin rings. Glory to the King of Kings. Let us pray.